Good morning to you, family of Gate Ministries, Durban South. It is with great joy that I greet you this morning, and I trust that you are all keeping well. You are prayerful, of course, being on high alert and being cautious. Today, I want to start a series on building strong disciples. Building strong disciples. In one of my recent teachings, I spoke on the importance of having a strong foundation in order for your building to stand. Now, this could refer to your domestic family, your marriage, your circle of credible friends, and even your fellowship in this family, the family of GMDS. When it comes to your personal life, if you desire to become a champion for Christ, then it is necessary to build a strong foundation. This is especially critical considering the ever-changing uncertainties of modern life and a culture around us becoming openly hostile to our faith. You must have the kind of foundation that can withstand a spiritual hurricane of opposition. Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock." But he added, "The foolish man who hears his words and fails to act upon them is like a man who built his house without a foundation. The storm wipes him out." These are critical times, beloved, and by now, every one of you is aware of how important it is to come to Jesus. Your proximity to him is essential for your immunity, for your protection, for your peace, for the power of God to be your portion, and of course, for your providence. Besides coming to Jesus, you have to hear his words. Hearing his words is just, which is more than just listening. Listening is a casual posture. In other words, you could listen to my voice, but your mind and heart could be directed to something totally else. So when you're hearing the word of God, or you're hearing the messenger bringing the word of God, you stand to attention. You respect the word. You adjust your posture. Your mind is captured by the word because of your respect for God and his word. So when you hear the word, it is a serious and intentional posture that you must possess. Not only coming to him, not only hearing his words, but also acting upon them. Acting upon what you hear is extremely important, beloved, for this evokes a response from God. In fact, James 1:22 tells us not only to be hearers of the word, but also to act upon the word. I must say this. Laying a foundation is not that exciting. Who wants to work so hard on something that will never be seen? Well, once your building is complete, it will make a great difference. Secondly, we cannot simply lay any foundation, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You find that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Hallelujah. So when you're talking about rearing your children, Jesus Christ must be the foundation of that endeavor. If you're talking about choosing a life's partner, the foundation of that choice must be Jesus Christ. If you want to move from one city to another city and relocate, You must first have a foundation called Jesus Christ in that decision. If you want to have a successful marriage, then Jesus Christ must be the foundation of that marriage. If you want to be a breakthrough believer, Jesus has to be a foundation of the life of that believer. If you want to be successful in your purpose for God and what He has assigned for you, then Jesus Christ must be the foundation of your ministry. Hallelujah. Whatever you do in the earth, whatever you are building or endeavoring to build or deciding to build, you must first consult with Jesus Christ and place Him as a foundation of whatever you choose to build. If ever a spiritual autopsy must be done by one who has failed miserably in his life or in any sphere of his living, then that one will discover that there was no solid foundation in that person's life, there was no understanding of repentance, and there was no true submission to the Lordship of Christ. Today, by commencing this series of building strong disciples, I want to achieve the purpose of having you all to leave the former things and stand strong against every attack from our common enemy, the devil. In this way, we may be able to avoid casualties in our spiritual house, namely Gate Ministries, Durban South. Now, beloved, who is a true disciple? Webster's definition of a disciple is a pupil or follower of any teacher or school. I repeat, Webster's definition of a disciple is a pupil or follower of any teacher or school. A true disciple is not just a student or a learner, but a follower, one who applies what he has learned. The Greek word that's translated make disciples is the word matheteo, which comes from the root matheteos, meaning learner or pupil. In fact, in ancient Greece, this word typically denotes someone who was an apprentice to a trade like masonry or shipbuilding. In philosophy, it spoke of someone who had developed a master-student relationship with a teacher. So for Christians, you and I, discipleship communicates the same sort of idea. The disciple is a believer who is learning to obediently follow and serve Jesus as their master. Discipleship emphasizes more than simply accepting Jesus. It's an enduring, long-term commitment to uncovering and discovering what it means to be devoted to Jesus. We do this through constant exposure to Scripture, commitment to communities of faith, and the direct involvement of mature believers coming into our lives. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says to his Jewish followers this way, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Abiding in Jesus' word is a poetic way of saying, remaining faithful to his teaching, to becoming a perpetual student. We don't become disciples by attending a couple of classes or conferences. No, disciples abide in a constant spiritual classroom. I repeat, disciples abide in a constant spiritual classroom. How about you? Let's take a moment to pause. Do you have a place in your home where you are being discipled by the Word of God, where you are being discipled by listening to teachings and sermons from your spiritual leader over and over again? Do you have a place where you can sit down? Have you invested in a place where you can call that your spiritual classroom, where you go to that place just to interact with the Word, to hear what the Word is saying to you, to pray that Word into your life, to meditate in that Word, to apply that Word, to spread that Word? Is this happening in your life? If not, it's a good place to start, because we are in the beginning of the end of time. Thus, a true disciple will ask, what would Jesus do? In other words, we as believers must be fully conversant and acquainted with the ascent and distinct art of following Jesus. These are the last days, beloved, before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus priority must be given to this responsibility, the responsibility of discipling others. According to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us, his believers, this command. Now, his last command should always be our first concern, according to Haggai International. This is so true, beloved. I repeat, his last command, which is found in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, should always be our first concern. So I believe strongly when Jesus comes back, he's going to visit this last command and he's going to see how many believers made his last command their first concern, and that is to disciple others. The church was so involved and is so involved with so many other aspects of the church life that this most important part has been gravely neglected. If this was his last command before he left, when he comes, it will be the first thing he will check up on. Beloved, there are at least 40 of you at GMDS in this assembly who are at this very present moment competent enough to conduct discipleship sessions with those who need maturing in the faith. I pray that you will avail yourself immediately through a personal piercing and conviction. Allow me to quote the following scriptures. I would want you to see a thread in what Jesus demands from us believers. Remember, members must be transitioned into disciples and eventually into mature sons of God. The only manual, the only diet that is credible to bring about this upgrade and transformation is doctrine, the truth of God's word taught to you. So let's read these scriptures. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Turn with me there, please. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Reading from the New King James Version. Go! Change your location. Change your posture. The place where you are comfortable. Get out of that comfort zone. Go. Therefore, because the word therefore allows us to go and look at something before this verse of scripture. The verse of scripture in verse 18, where Jesus tells us that all power has been given to him, both in heaven and in earth. What is this power? This power is a power to be preserved, to be protected, to speak fluently, not to be ashamed. This power is for you to penetrate frontiers where darkness prevails. This power has been given to Jesus. And when he's asking you to go, He's asking you to deputize for him. He's asking you to execute on behalf of his mandate and what he wants. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Next, you got to teach them to observe all things, not what you want, but what Jesus commanded you. We've had situations previously where home church leaders were teaching their own stuff, not conforming, not being compliant to the vision of the house. Now I'm praying that if there's 40 of you, as I've identified you, to execute and to teach new and maturing believers the word of God, the principles of God's word, that you will only teach what Jesus have commanded via the set man. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you know, there's no need to be scared, to be apprehensive, to be frightened, to be ashamed of Jesus. He's right there with those that will lend him their lives, their body, their souls, I mean their hands, their feet, their mouth, to carry out this great command of going and discipling new believers. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, in the New King James Version, turn with me there quickly. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, this is for every believer, every mature believer. And I've identified you, you amongst the 40. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So there's two results, two outcomes. Believers, people that will be saved and people that will be condemned. Come on now, you've got to give some of your time to the Lord. Yes, give some of your time to the Lord. Twice a week, at least 2 hours. Not for you to go in and enjoy praise and worship. That's for your personal upliftment. But to execute this command, it should be your first concern, because it's coming from Jesus. In Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, end of the earth. So yeah, if we put these three verses together, Jesus is saying, go, next, make disciples. Baptize these people that you are discipling. Teach them to observe all things. Which things? The things that I've commanded you, says Jesus. Next, go into the world and preach the gospel. Next, go and be a witness for me in your Jerusalem, and then take it out. But you have to fulfill these instructions from Jesus Christ. You will be judged, and I will be judged for not executing, not fulfilling, not obeying these very important instructions given by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 23, verse 15, woe to you, you religious people, scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. Why? For you traveled on land and sea to win one person for the Lord. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Why? Because you do not teach him. You do not disciple that person. You do not show him all the commandments that the Lord has given us to execute or to live by in this life, in this earth. But to assume that discipleship is simply an intellectual pursuit would be completely misguided, beloved. We learn about following Jesus so that we may do the actual work associated with following Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you. There's so many believers today that want to post stuff, want to get excited about their faith and a revelation that may come into their minds or something that they hear, and they want to cut and paste it on their Facebook page or on a WhatsApp message, but they do not do what the Lord wants them to do. Now, God is going to deal in his own way with such believers. They create the impression that they are close to God, but they will not fulfill all the commands of the Lord. They are so selective. Well, God calls such people hypocrites. And we've got to be so careful in this last days that we are not discredited or disqualified by just creating an impression. It's like the yeast that is placed in the bread. The yeast is placed in the dough to inflate that loaf of bread, but it adds no value to that bread. It just inflates it. Many believers today are inflating themselves, but they add no value to the body of Christ because they are selective in which commands to obey and which commands not to obey. Jesus wants us to obey all his commandments, all or nothing. Okay? If you obey a few commandments, it's equal to not obeying all the commandments. So you rather obey all the commandments in order to receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, one of the most important elements of discipleship is reproduction. A disciple creates more disciples and should never be able to say, I've never shared the gospel with someone. I repeat, I don't want any of you to say this. I've never shared the gospel with someone. Discipleship includes the work of sharing the gospel and baptizing those who respond in faith. But leading others to Christ is only discipleship's point of entry. Leading people to Christ is only point one in this journey. Jesus is not here on the earth in person as the head, but his body is here. We, his body, are his hands, his feet, and his mouth. After someone has committed him or herself to following Jesus and have been baptized, we are to help that person also become a student of Jesus. Like us, the life of a new believer is transformed and sanctified through the spiritual empowerment of the Holy Spirit and deep training in the ways of Jesus. But for people to train others in the ways of Jesus, they too must be trained in the ways of Jesus. So those who are being discipled must be trained in the ways of Jesus, and those who are instructing or tutoring or training others must also continuously be trained in the ways of Jesus. All believers need to be discipled in order to disciple. Kevin DeYoung says it as follows. The one indispensable requirement for producing godly, mature Christians is godly, mature Christians. I repeat, I quote, the one indispensable requirement for producing godly, mature Christians is godly, mature Christians. I unquote. This is a good space for me to repent as the leader of this household, beloved, for not sufficiently instructing and teaching you and bringing you to the place where you know your spiritual obligation to disciple others. Yes, some of our other initiatives and aspects of ministry are important, but But discipleship is the most important, that is, maturing the saints. I'm hoping that GMDS would become a spiritual classroom on a Sunday morning and also maybe 2 weekday evenings, just involving ourselves in instructing the believers in the word or in true discipleship. This would definitely increase our credibility before the Lord. I am certain this would be put a big smile on the face of Jesus, his last command becoming our first concern. Now, I want to share the marks of true discipleship. One, today and others, the next time I have a chance to share the word of God, the marks of true discipleship. Number one true mark of discipleship, or the mark of a true disciple, is a supreme love for the Lord. Not compromised, not negotiated, not diluted, a supreme love for the Lord. The Bible says, you in Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Heart, soul, and might. In other words, you are to love the Lord with all of your spirit, your soul, your body. A disciple is one who loves the Lord with all of his spirit, soul, and body. There will always be room for expansion and growth in loving the Lord, but from the very beginning of his or her walk with the Lord, the true disciple will put all that he is and all that he will ever be into loving the Lord. As a disciple knows more of the Lord in future, he will respond more to the Lord. Then, but for a moment, the disciple must be able to say with a clear conscience before the Lord and to the Lord, Lord, with all of my being, I love you. Loving the Lord is not a sentimental affair, although sentiments do get involved. No one should say that he does not feel love in his heart for the Lord. No one should say that he has an emotional problem that causes him not to feel love for the Lord as the other believers do. There is one fundamental test of love, just one. There is one way of proving whether a person loves the Lord or not. This test is obedience. Those who love the Lord obey him. All who are disobedient to him do not love him. I repeat, all who are disobedient to him do not love him. The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in John 14:15. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. John 13:17. In Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it in their hearts. Keep it means acting upon it. Loving the Lord demands total obedience, beloved. Partial obedience is gross disobedience. I repeat, partial obedience is gross disobedience. Loving the Lord demands sometimes unpopular obedience. God asked the prophet Isaiah to walk naked for 3 years around where he lived. And as he was speaking, to walk naked for 3 years. You read that in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. That was unpopular. It sounds foolish. It sounds most unreasonable. But because God said it, he obeyed. Loving the Lord demands continuous obedience. To become a disciple and continue to be a disciple, a person starts to obey the Lord and he continues to obey the Lord every day, every hour, every second until the Lord Jesus comes back. When a person ceases to obey the Lord in anything, he ceases to love the Lord and also ceases to be a true disciple. Now answer these questions. Take a moment. Answer these questions. I will go a little slow. Answer these questions. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Think about this. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Number two, is there someone or something contending with the Lord in your heart? Such a thing or person often comes into your mind when you want to pray. Thirdly, do you love the Lord with all your will? If you submitted your will to His will? Do you love the Lord with all your mind? Are you guiding your emotions increasingly in the direction of loving the Lord? Do you use your mind, your thought capacity in the service of the Lord? Is your mind, is your intellect divided between the Lord and something or between the Lord and someone? Is there any command of the Lord that you are deliberately disobeying or reluctant to obey? I repeat the last one. Is there any command of the Lord that you are deliberately disobeying or you feel reluctance in obeying that command of the Lord? I want to stop right there today. But before I do that, in the subsequent sessions that will be afforded to me, I want to touch on other marks of discipleship, okay, which can include the following: a supreme love for all brethren, a separation from family, a separation from self, bearing the cross, renouncing all, continuing in the word, fruit bearing, and departure from sin. The Lord bless you. I'd love you to listen to this teaching two or three times before it sinks into you. This is an introductory session given to you. We will go deeper into some aspects that I've mentioned. I would also like to go in detail and talk about the diet, which is the doctrine that falls from the heart of the Father. And I would eventually want to touch on some of these doctrines: the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of angels, the various doctrines. And of course, I would love to teach on evangelism discipleship, because this will then help you and I to know how do we go about winning souls. After we win them, then a manual is given to you on how you should disciple that believer so that that believer is as strong as you after a year or so. The Lord bless you today. The Lord keep you, and He causes His countenance to shine upon you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us until we meet again. Amen.